and welcome to Live Vedanta, a podcast where we explore simple living and high thinking. Each week, we join Vivek Gupta as he offers insights on bringing the divine into the daily. Vivekji has experienced much of what the world has to offer, whether it is attending an elite business school or traveling to almost 50 countries. However, tired with the inconsistent and incomplete peace associated with these pursuits, he decided to turn his journey within. Over the last decade, Vivekji has shared his observations on the science of independent joy with communities across North America and beyond. In this week's episode, we continue our series on Vibhishana Gita. We wrap up our understanding of the chariot of satsang, focusing on the need to depend on Bhagavan, and move on to the weapons of sadhana. Let's tune in.
Whatever your purpose is, that will become your pursuit. Whatever your ends is, that will become your means. The way that Swami Tejomayananda shares this, tell me who you love, and I'll tell you who you are. Who you love is who you're trying to be. That is your purpose, that is your ends, and you are the pursuit. You are the means. If we think of our demographic, a setukari, one who is embracing responsibilities for those who are younger, those who are older, put your hand up if one of these or all of these are your responsibility. For how many of you, professional or volunteering is part of your week, part of your life? Okay? Family, social aspirations, social involvement, financial complications, health, your relationship with religion. See, all of these, you're lazy, so you're not putting your hand up. But every one of us, we have to consider work, we have to consider our family, and in comparison, for someone who's 20, they don't have to care about those who are younger than them so much, right? And really, their parents are not so old either. But once you become 30 and 40, you do have to care for those who are younger, and your parents are getting older. You start to experience perhaps the passing of your grandparents and so on. Socially, when you're in high school, you just are with those group of people. But in the workplace, we have our work friends, we have our neighborhood friends, you have your Diwali friends, your holy friends, your money friends. Financially, someone who's 60 probably has less financial considerations than someone whose kids are younger, someone who has a student loan, isn't it? Me and my parents don't have any considerations, right? They're set in their lifestyle. Health. People who are 20 and 60 both don't care about their health. But we're realizing we're getting older now, isn't it? We metabolize slower. We sit more. And religion. Religion is something that we want to be closer with, but maybe we don't know how to. It's like we're being pulled in so many directions. And other demographics are not as pulled as much, generally. But we're pulled in so many directions, and you can't escape from that. You can't let go of those. You can't let go of your health. You can't let go of your social engagements. We have the most to do right now in this period of our lives, the most to do, yet we think the least. So engaged in implementation that there is no consideration for intention. lots and lots and lots of karma, very little yoga. That's quite backwards. The more you have to do, the more you should be thinking about what you're doing, not just doing, correct? You cannot escape. You cannot let go of your responsibilities, both in a worldly way and definitely in a religious way. This retreat, led by love, lead by love, is about growing in our efficiency, in what we're already doing to be more efficient. Shared differently, Gurudev has this famous quote that what you have is your gift from him. What you do with your gift is your gift to him. Obviously, it's worded much better, but you get my point. This is your gift to him. Your gift you've received, you cannot reject that. It is your gift from him. Now you have a choice to use that gift, use it or lose it. And shared in one more way, when you love your role, that is who you are, you will love your responsibilities. If you love your job title, you will love your job description. But if you don't know your job title, if you don't love what you're here for, you are not going to love what you're supposed to do here. Led by love is love thyself. Then you can lead by love. For all of these parties, your work, your family, your society, and so on. Ramayana, Ravana Bhagavan Rama, the final fight, where Vibhishana's observing all of this. We are aspiring to subjectify this, where we are the subject. Bhagavan Rama is telling Vibhishana, don't you see my chariot? He says no, because there's tears in his eyes. Bhagavan Rama says, don't use your sight, to use your vision. My chariot for us is what? Starts with an S. Satsanga. My chariot for us is satsanga. Satsanga is a catalyst for what English verb? Moving. We start to move. It's not about going and not going. That is external. It's about moving. Moving yourself. Changing your intention. If there's a chariot, Bhagavan Rama also tells Vibhishana, with your vision, see my weapons. Subjectively, this is sadhana. And in English, this is investing. In sadhana, you are investing in yourself. I use the example of saving money so you can buy more stuff in video games or computer games, right? I don't want to say weapons, but you could, whatever. It's investing. So you can do more. Satsanga should lead to sadhana, and sadhana should lead to seva. And Bhagavan Rama says, see my armor. And in English, that would be testing. In seva, you are tested. I think most of you work in professional environments. All of you work in a sacred environment. Which is harder? Secular or sacred? The sacred. There's less of a hierarchy. In truth, there should be no hierarchy. In truth. In the secular, if I sign your check and you don't do what I want you to do, I don't sign your check. I'm not concerned about your feelings. I'm not concerned about your future. In the sacred, who are you to tell me what to do? You volunteer, I volunteer. Even now you're thinking, you should be sitting up here and I should sit over there. It is more difficult in the sacred environment. It's more gray, less black and white, isn't it? Testing. in our study groups, the evolution of a study group is to become someone who serves. And in our Chinmay Sedugari, this is one of the focuses. Is that the correct terminology? Focuses? Is to serve. That we've gone through our satsang when we were kids, we've done our sadhana when we're young adults, and now as evolving adults. Evolving means I want to see how strong I am. I want to test myself. It's through seva. We first took up Bhagavan Rama's chariot. Jehi jaya hoy so syandana ana. Bhagavan Rama says, hey, Vibhishana, look with your vision, not with your sight. He says, my chaka, my wheels are Sauraja and Dhiraja. Give me the English words. Courage and determination. The Dhwaja and Pataka, my flag and my business card, they are Satya and Shila, which are honesty and character. My Kore, my horses, my four horses, my first is Bala, which is health. Then Viveka, insight. Dhamma, calmness. And Parahita, care. If there's four horses, there has to be three reins. My Rajju, my reins are Chama, which is forgiveness. Kripa, kindness. And Samatha, balance. We focused on not two wheels, but one wheel. And we focused on Sauraja, which is courage. And our tactile thought for Sauraja was enjoy waking. Enjoy waking. Those who enjoy waking, those who are morning people, work smarter. Those who stay up at night, are those who are studying at night, working at night, you're working harder, but you're not working smarter. Because your equipment is not smarter at night. Is not smarter. The weaknesses are stronger at night. That's when Ravana, Duryodhana, they all wanted to fight at night. That's when the vices in us become stronger. So as we think about working smarter, it means enjoy waking. That was Sauraja. We also studied Satya. Satya is honesty, and it is to enjoy cleaning. Enjoy cleaning. And I mentioned how happy you feel when you have a clean kitchen. How happy you feel when your desk is more organized. Then you can think more clearly, isn't it? When you're able to space matters out, you can work with that space. If there's so much clutter, you can't work. That's what I meant by cleaning. Cleaning leads to organizing. Organizing leads to purity. If you think of the most pure people like Swami Vivekananda, like Gurudev, they're the most organized, no? The most clean in the sense that everything was in its place. They knew about everything. Enjoy cleaning in a worldly way. This is Jomo. Jomo is? The joy of missing out. You know, I worked all day, and instead of going out at night, I'm going to go to the gym. And I'm going to feel good about my heart, and I'm going to feel good about my muscles, and then I'm going to shower, and I'm going to sleep. And you're going to go to the bar, and you're going to stay up late, and tomorrow morning you're going to talk about how happy you are, but you're not going to look very happy. Correct? Not valuing that experience rightly. Cleaning, simplicity. And we studied Parahita. Parahita is to care, and that is to enjoy serving. Enjoy serving. And I emphasize one more time, serving is not external, serving is internal. It's not about implementation, it is about intention. You can be in the most noble profession, but if your intention is ignoble, what are you engaged in? Dusanga. You can be engaged in what is societally known as the most ignoble profession, but if you're doing this for God, you're engaged in satsanga. and how wrongly invaders and the British made us focus on the implementation and not the intention, correct? Your caste is your father's last name, or your father's name, your blood type, etc., etc. When it's not to do with your implementation, it is your intention. Prahlad is born in a family of Rakshasas. Ravana is a Brahmana. It has nothing to do with their families. It has to do with them. Enjoy serving. And one more way I will highlight on how to be someone who's more serving oriented is to enjoy listening. A great service we can offer to others, parahita, is to listen to them. Everyone is playing such mind games with themselves that if they have someone to listen to, those mind games slowly become calmer, quieter. And if you're strong enough, that itself is great service, just to be a listener. When kids come home from a rough day at school with comparisons or bullying or whatever it may be, they may feel that you don't know that you can help them. You never went to school here, as an example. So just listen to them. Maybe nobody else does listen to them. Just by listening to them, that is serving too, no? Enjoy serving. So that's our wheel, our flag. Parahita is a horse. Now we'll take up one of the reins, and that is chama. Sanskrit will become chama. And what's one more name, another word for chama? In Sanskrit. Let's see if our Bhagavad Gita students remember this. Kshantihi. Kshama, that's with a K, and Kshantihi, those are the same word. It means forgiveness. Kshama is actually Kshama, and within the word Kshama is what word that you all know? Kshama. What does Kshama mean? Not dhamma is calmness, and shama is control of mind or coolness. We put chandan on our forehead to keep our minds, as a reminder to keep our minds cool. Back in the day in Bharat, if you burned yourself, what did you put on your skin? Chandan, correct? That chandan is a cooling agent. We put chandan on. And kumkum, I'm told, is a form of turmeric. And turmeric is a form of antiseptic. We put kumkum on our foreheads to keep our minds clean. So cool and clean. First cool, that's why chandan goes on first. Once your mind is cool, then you can focus on the cleanliness, which is purity. But if your mind is not cool, you'll never get to that cleanliness. So shama, but that's not even my focus. If you remove the H, shama becomes sama. And sama is a word to describe Brahman. Sama Brahma is what we say. That Brahman is the one who's balanced. Brahman is the one who's equal. So full chama is when we treat all equally, with no likes and dislikes. We tend to forgive those who we like, and we tend not to forgive those who we dislike. So Bhagavan's reign here, he's telling us, is in an absolute sense that chama is a quality of those who are enlightened. Shama, sama. Okay, I'll make this more relative, okay? I'm trying to give you various depths of message. I'm always starting with the absolute. What does this have to do with enlightenment? Every scripture in Sanatana Dharma has a singular purpose of enlightenment. But we may not have that purpose. Which is why I focus on the relative also. I'll read a quote out to you. Tell me if you know who shared this quote. We all live with the objective of being happy. Semicolon. Do you agree so far? We all live with the objective of being happy. But, sorry, our lives are all different and yet the same. Our lives are all different and yet the same. Whose quote is this? Anne Frank. This is Anne Frank's quote. She didn't have a very easy life, but quite aware that everyone wants to be happy. How we try to be happy is going to be different. Just like if you compare religions at the ritual level, there will only be fighting, obviously. But if you compare religions at the spiritual level, in other words, why of the ritual, there'll be way less fighting then. There will still be fighting, but there'll be way less fighting then. Correct? So as we think in a relative way about forgiveness, everyone's trying to be happy, which means we're all on the same team. We're all trying to shoot on the net over there. Some people score, some people pass, some people score in their own net. But they're still looking there, right? It's not that they turn around and kick it in their net. They just happen to kick backwards. They don't know how to be happy. But they're still trying to be happy, isn't it? They're still trying, but they don't know how to. Some people know how to. We're all on the same team. So forgiveness should be so natural, so logical. In a tactile sense, what am I supposed to do with this ring? Okay, I'm coming from absolute to relative to tactile. Enjoy praising. Enjoy praising. When you think of people, do you think of what they've done for you or what they've not done for you? Obviously, you're going to say what they've done for you, but do you think of that about that at lunch? Do you think about that at 5 o'clock? We lose that energy and enthusiasm. For those in our meditation and life class, I pointed that out. When you lack energy and enthusiasm, this is all just words. Enjoy praising means you're focusing on what people have done for you rather than what they've not done for you. You praise them for coming here. If someone is totally distracted right now, the way to practice forgiveness is, I'm glad that you're here. Correct? Need not even be here. Like that. And as you keep praising others, it helps us to give up our ego, because our habit is to be praised. Be praised. I moved 3 chairs, and at the closing ceremony, they're going to talk about everyone who did something. And I'm waiting for them to talk about those 3 chairs that I moved. And when you don't talk about me, what's it, Ukari? What, Chinmaya? So be proactive about it. Just keep on enjoying praising. It's a fine way to overlook people's weaknesses, to overlook their mistakes. Not that we should be looking at them in the first place, isn't it? One of the best church signs that I read from the outside said, we all make mistakes. And mistake was spelled wrong. Another fun church sign said, save the earth, it's the only planet with chocolate. What a good Earth Day message, no? We all make mistakes. We all have weaknesses. Giving you some scriptural reference. Pandavas, did they have weaknesses? Did they make mistakes? Kauravas, did they have weaknesses? Did they make mistakes? Who admitted to their mistakes? Pandavas. Who asked for help? Pandavas. Both had weaknesses and made mistakes. That's us. If I admit it, I will ask for help. That itself is me asking for forgiveness. See, even as I said it, you're thinking I should forgive others, correct? But forgiveness also means asking for forgiveness, isn't it? See our habit of externalizing. Yeah, I should forgive people more. ask for forgiveness more. So enjoy praising. Looking at me. Enjoy what we began with? Enjoy waking. Enjoy cleaning. Enjoy serving. Enjoy praising. We'll complete our chariot. We've acknowledged the wheel, the flag, the horse, the rein. And finally is the charioteer. Bhajanu, or you can just take it as bhajan. Bhajan. And a whole lot of you studied in the Mohamudgara course with me. Bhajan or bhaja initially starts as, give me the English verb, to sing. As you go deeper, this is tactile. To sing is tactile. We're going to go through the relative to the absolute. Deeper or higher than to sing is to seek. Your mind is following your words now. There's integrity. Higher than seek is serve. Now my body's in the play too. My mouth is, my thoughts are, my body is to serve. Higher than that? Higher than that? We only studied for 1 year. I only reviewed for another year to worship. The difference between serving and worship, it's more natural. Volunteering is the least natural. Serving is more natural. Worship is more natural. But we're not finished. After to worship is to love. Love is so natural. It should be so natural. Like I love myself. And the evolution of love is to be. To be. So here, bhajana, bhaja is to be whom or what you're engaged in bhajan of. So if I'm singing about Atma Rama, the evolution of that is to me, for me to be Atma Rama. To be that. Our charioteer, Prince Arjuna, should be Bhagavan Krishna, correct? And it's verbally described as that when Prince Arjuna says, Nashta Moha. I'm not confused anymore. I'm like you now. What an amazing message. I am like you now. Because in chapter 4, are you enjoying yourself? Should I just turn around and speak? In chapter 4, Bhagavan Krishna says, we're the same, but you've forgotten. Now in chapter 18, Prince Arjuna says, I remember now that we are the same. It's such a, those details are so lovely in Bhagavad Gita and Ramayana. So now referencing Bhagavatam, the word Bhagavata, Bhagavata means Bhagavata idam. Bhagavata idam, which means relating... Relating to Bhagavan. Relating to Bhagavan. So the word Bhagavatam means Bhagavan. The word Bhagavatam means bhakti. And the word Bhagavatam means bhakta. And if the bhakta follows bhakti, what do they become? Bhagavan. So here, I reference again, bhajan is to go from singing to being, from Prince Arjuna to Bhagavan Krishna. From the bhakta following bhakti to Bhagavan. And now coming to some relativity, what was the English word I gave you yesterday for bhaja? What does bhakti mean? Depend. Depend. In Sri Rama Gita, Prince Arjuna, Sri Lakshmana asks Bhagavan Rama what bhakti is, and Bhagavan Rama says, depend. In bhakti, you stop depending on the outside and you start depending on the inside. You stop depending on the Jagat and you start depending on the Jagadishwara. I'm the Jiva. I have a focus of the Jagat or Jagadishwara, the creation or the created. The more dependent an entity is, the less real it is. The less real it is. The more dependent, the less real. If someone needs an opioid, if they depend on an opioid to be happy, is their happiness real? If someone depends on being in front of Bhagavan for happiness, is it more or less real than the opioid? More real, correct? That's a chemical that goes into their body. This is me visualizing. It's more real, correct? Me feeling I am at one with all, irrespective of altar or not, whether I'm at the bar or the vape lounge, if I feel at one with all the drinkers and smokers, now all of a sudden I've shifted from any dependency. I am independent. So that's what bhajana means, is to shift your dependency. To shift it is what bhaja means, what bhakti means. This one word we can just keep going on and on with. Someone had gone to Swami Tejomayananda and said, they were talking about Bhagavad Gita, and this person said, yes, Bhagavad Gita is where Prince Arjuna teaches Bhagavan Krishna. And Guruji said, no, I think you're mistaken. It's where Bhagavan Krishna teaches Prince Arjuna. And this person said, no, I know Bhagavad Gita. It is where Prince Arjuna is teaching Bhagavan Krishna. And Guruji politely said, this is what I do, you know? This is my life. And then that person says, what difference does it make who taught who? But in actuality, going into Bhagavad Gita, it is Prince Arjuna who is instructing Bhagavan Krishna, no, put my chariot between both armies. We should get out of here. And then Bhagavan Krishna, after Arjuna surrenders, shishyaha deyaham, then he starts to teach. So the dependence shifts again. Arjuna's depending on himself, but now he depends on Bhagavan. I'll give you one more way to look at this, okay? Right now, if you think about our hands are on articles, beings, and circumstances. Our cell phones, our kids, our jobs, our name in society. And it keeps shaking, right? So you get tired. If you're even in the steering wheel, if rocky roads, you know, your hands keep vibrating, you get tired of that. At that time, you want to hold on to something more stable. That's when the Guru Shishya Parampara comes. And they take our hands into their hands. Now they're holding our hands. Then they take our hands and put our hands on Bhagavan. From guru to God. If you come up to a guru who keeps those hands on you, stay away from that guru. His hands or her hands are not on God either. That's why they're not transporting your hands. But those hands go to God. And then what does God do with your hands? Puts them back on you. Correct? Our Bhagavan will take our own hands and put it back on, not Rama, but Atma. That's all bhaja, bhakti, the charioteer. Here is your tactile thought, your point. Enjoy focusing. Enjoy focusing. When you're devoted to a person, do you focus on them more or less? More. If you're focused on your job, do you focus on your focus more or less? If you're devoted to your health, do you care more or less about what you eat? Etc., etc., etc. Enjoy focusing. In the happiness series too, I said this almost every night. Fulfillment doesn't come from activity, it comes from absorption. It's not the activity that will provide you with fulfillment, it's you being absorbed in that activity. So how do I invoke whatever I'm doing? By focusing. From sing, seek, serve, worship, love, be. Focusing. This would be the most difficult enjoy we've come across thus far. Focusing is becoming harder and harder. What did I just say? I myself, so many times am speaking and I need to ask, what was I just talking about? Is focusing. And you know, we're fortunate in the sense that most of us were pre-internet days. And the internet was through a phone wire. And it was so slow that we didn't get dependent on it. Now it's so easy to be dependent, right? Going back to the opioid, when I was growing up, I didn't even hear that word. I didn't know what that word was. But now I personally know people who are addicted to opioids, Oxycontin, etc., because they can get it. They can get it so easily. Back in the day, you couldn't get it easily. And when something is easy, it's easy to be distracted by it. When things are not easy, you focus on it, right? Enjoy focusing on everything you do. Eating, walking, speaking, everything. I learned that a lot from Vyasa. When he's focusing, us trying to take him away is a bad scene. Because he's unitasking and we're trying to multitask him. And he's resisting that. And that's a great thing, to resist that. I had a conversation with a Devi recently who has two young kids. And I told her, she was feeding her kids, and I was talking to her, and I was sharing that when I feed Vyasa, I don't like people talking to me, including Sheila, because I want to unitask. He's unitasking, I want to unitask. Plus, I can't do it. I don't know how to multitask. And she said, because you're a Deva, we Devis know how to multitask. And I smiled and nodded, and in my mind was thinking, I'm glad that you're using Devi to justify your adharma. It doesn't matter if you're a Devi, Deva, parent, not parent. A unitasking is right and multitasking is wrong. Our chariot is now complete for this retreat. Our chariot subjectively means satsang. Satsang, I know I'm engaged in satsang when I start to move. Moving here means enjoying, waking, cleaning, serving, praising, and focusing. When you're in satsang, you enjoy these more. Now we shift from the chariot to weapons. This is what you've been waiting for. To weapons. And subjectively, this means sadhana. We're interested in weapons, not interested in sadhana. That's why I associated these words, okay? And you know you're engaged in sadhana when you are investing. Where are you investing? In yourself. There are many weapons that are described. So if you move with me to, I'm on page 34. You would be on 35, I think. It says the charioteer on the top of my page, 37. We already covered the first line. Let's go through the next lines. Birati charma santosha kripana. Your turn. Charma means shield. And virati is virakta, is viraga, is vairag. The shield is vairagya. Kirpana, for those who know anything about Sikhism, what does kirpana mean?
Sword.
Kirpana, I think they call it. Kirpan. Kirpana means sword, and it is santosha, which means contentment. That's right. Santosha means contentment. So the shield is independence, vairagya, independence. And the sword is contentment. Dana parasu buddhi sakti prachanda. Please repeat.
Dana parasu buddhi sakti prachanda.
Parasu is like parashu, which means axe. Like parashu rama. The axe is dana, which means, what's a better word than charity? Generosity. Charity we tend to think of only in financial terms. but generosity is more universal. So generosity is the acts, and prachanda, you know what a prachanda is? Okay, you know what a danda is, correct? What's a danda? Stick. Where do you see a stick as a weapon? Where do you see a stick with a sharp point at the end? Like a spear. Where do you see it though? Like Game of Thrones and so on. Not that I watched the show. In English, it's a lance. A lance. You know, like Sir Lancelot. So, prachanda is a lance. It is a stick. It's that spear with that steel head on the end. So the prachanda, you don't know what a prachanda is. The prachanda is buddhi sakti. How do you think buddhi sakti would look like in English? What does buddhi sakti mean? Buddhi shakti. Integrity, knowledge, intellectual power, fortitude. Anyone else? Wisdom. It is reason or being reasonable. Buddhi sakti means to be reasonable. Would you describe yourself as a reasonable person? I don't see a lot of nods right now. That's what's so awesome about this, how practical and relevant this is, right? And how sad it is that we need to be told to be reasonable. Be reasonable, that's your prachanda. Parabhijnana katina ko danda. Repeat. Kodanda is his bow. Bhagavan Rama's bow is katina, which means it's strong, it's awesome. And that is parabhijnana. Jnana means knowledge. Then vijnana means special knowledge or wisdom. So that's what's being described here is Bhagavan Rama's bow is understanding. Understanding. If there's a bow, there also has to be a quiver. Next is a quiver. Amala achala mana trona samana. Bhagavan Rama's quiver is a mind, mana that is amala. Amala means pure. Achala means stable. So that quiver is purity. The quiver is purity. A pure mind will be a stable mind. Pure chemicals are stable chemicals. If there's a bow, there's a quiver. If there's a quiver, there has to be arrows. Sama jama niyama silimukha nana. Silimukha means arrows. Nana means various arrows. These various arrows are sama. Sama means balance. We had studied that. Jama. J's are actually, in Ramayana, are actually wise. So jama is actually yama. Like Yajnavalkya becomes Jagyavalkya. Viveka becomes Bibeka. So, jama is yama and niyama. Yama means don'ts. A better word in this context is abstinence. Abstinence. And niyama is dues or observance. Observance. So the arrows are balance, abstinence, observance. And we'll finish here. These are the weapons. The last two... Two lines talk about, naturally, the armor. Armor. Okay, everyone's with me so far? We're shifting from satsang to sadhana. We're shifting from Friday night and all of Saturday and Sunday morning to Sunday afternoon first, okay? We'll start sadhana 24 hours later. You start tomorrow with your sadhana, and we're going through our weapons. Bhagavan Rama's shield is independence. His sword is contentment. His axe is generosity. His lance is reason. His bow is understanding. His quiver is purity. Arrow one is quietude. Arrow two is abstinence. Arrow three is observance.
If you enjoyed what you heard or you want to learn more, share this episode with a friend or find us online at medium.com/Vichara Gurukula. For those on the journey of self-development, Vichara Gurukula is a community forum that provides an opportunity to listen, reflect, and contemplate. This podcast is produced by the Young Adults of Chinmaya Mission, an international nonprofit working to transform individuals through the knowledge of Vedanta. Until next time, inspire, love, be.